Amen. Good morning, Long Island.
Good morning.
It is a joy to be with you all today. Let's give it up for your worship team. They are doing phenomenal up here. And it is a joy to be here to worship with you guys and to preach the word this morning. I am grateful to have been asked to come and to speak and fill in as the rodeos, John and Tiffany, are recovering and focusing on their newborn, Aubrey, who I'm sure you're all very excited to meet and be praying for them as they are with their growing and happy family. And I'd have to say I might be the best fill-in for John on a given Sunday. Since I've been here, multiple people have thought that I was John. And so that works out. People have always thought that we were brothers. We've known each other since we were like three. And so if that works out for me, because if there's anything I say that you don't like today, perhaps you will take that up with him next week. But I'll take the encouragement and the compliments later if you want to say it today. But I feel very welcomed and even natural and comfortable coming in here today because I have gotten to spend a lot of time with many of you over the years, just at different baby showers or family events and birthday parties for the rodeos, and of course also different things for Caleb and Julie over the past couple years and them getting married. And I do just feel like this is an amazing ministry. This is a family, and God is working and using you guys, and that the Long Island region is absolutely a shining ministry in the New York City church. And so thank you for welcoming me and for all that you guys are doing. Many of you do know Chelsea and I. She's actually home with our younger son, who's very sick, so you could be praying for them. And as he needs to get better to go back to school, we need that. But, be praying for them. But I am happy to be here. For those of you that don't know, my name's Rob. Novak, my wife Chelsea, and I lead our New York City Church's campus ministry. And 2 years ago, we got to start this project called the City Campus Region. And so coming out of COVID, we did not have any campus ministers in all of the boroughs of our church. And the number of students had really shriveled down. And so we were tasked to start a campus region. And so all the students in all of the different borough ministries left their regions to start this city campus region. And our goal is to rebuild the ministry, to help reestablish campus ministries, and to raise up leaders so that we could send them back into their regions stronger with leadership and healthier. And it has been very encouraging to see God blessing this ministry over the last couple years. The group has grown so much in their convictions, in their relationships. I really believe that we're seeing God form a healthy ministry in the campus, in the city. And of course, seeing people becoming Christians is a blessing and is very exciting. We've been able to restart Bible talks at Columbia, at Lehman College, at City College, at NYU, and at Queens College, all in the last 2 years, restarting those Bible talks. There's the city campus region. And we've been seeing new people start to want to intern and to train for ministry. One of them was Caleb Brent, who many of you know. And so Caleb was able to go in the full-time ministry. And I do want to say sincerely, thank you all for sending and supporting Julia to go be with Caleb and to help rebuild the Manhattan campus ministry. Julia is amazing. Caleb and Julia are doing phenomenal. They're leading our Manhattan ministry, our NYU Bible Talk, and anybody else studying the Bible around Manhattan. And they live in Flushing, so they came and asked, can we start a Queens College Bible Talk too? So they're also starting and leading a Queens College Bible Talk, and saw a girl named Annette get baptized this semester, which was very encouraging. So we do feel like God is blessing and using this. And I just want to ask you to be praying for the city campus as we continue to grow, to raise up leaders, and then to hopefully, in the near future, send it back into the regular regions to keep growing. So pray for us. It's encouraging to see God. I wanted to just share some good news from the campus and give you an update on that. Well, we all know this week, this coming Thursday, is Thanksgiving. I'm sure you guys are excited for Thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but for me, the fall is all about a season of cravings, right? There's just a lot of food that you know, hey, we kind of only eat like this or eat this time of year. It's all the good stuff that makes you need a New Year's resolution, right? You know, since September hits, and it is all about pumpkin spice, right? How many of you love having some pumpkin spice coffee or something in the beginning, right? We love that, and we get excited for that. If any of you shop at Trader Joe's, which that's where I do most of my grocery shopping, Trader Joe's has the ability to take any item, and they just make it pumpkin spice of that thing, right? They have everything. And Chelsea and Tyler went there one day together, and they were like, we're just going to get every pumpkin thing, and they drove us into the ground with our grocery budget. But, we love all the different flavors and things that come up around Thanksgiving, Christmas, family dishes, and traditions and all that. I want you to just take a second, turn to your neighbor, and tell them one food you're craving to eat this holiday season or this Thanksgiving you're excited for. All right, we could stop talking about food. You're all going to be hungry already anyway. All right, so obviously that was not difficult, right? There's things we're all craving this time of year. And that's what I want to talk about today is cravings, because as we are craving all sorts of food, the focus of our message today, or the title, is Spirit Spice. Spirit Spice in the spirit of Thanksgiving and all the different flavors, because it is always the season to put Spirit Spice on everything. We want to be craving the Spirit. Now, the truth is that we live with conflicting cravings of our flesh and of our faith. Right? There's things our flesh wants, and then there's things our faith wants. And the Bible speaks to this conflict of cravings. In Romans chapter 7, I'll read verse 14 to 16 and then 21 to 23. Paul writes, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me." This is a very relatable passage, isn't it? You know, you can relate to this. Oh, what I want to do, I don't do. And what I do, and we are in this spiritual battle. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. How many of us have some experience and right afterwards like, oh, I wish I didn't say it like that. Oh, I wish I didn't say that, right? Why did I do that? You know, the thing with food is some meals, there's really no option to eat healthy or unhealthy, right? You show up and you're like, oh, it's all healthy stuff. Or you show up and you're like, maybe you're trying to be healthy and you're like, oh, there's nothing healthy here I could eat, right? With some meals, there's no option. But, you know, with the spiritual battle, we do have options. There's a choice we make of, well, what craving am I going to feed into here? But it is a battle, right? It's not easy to pick the right thing. We want to do good, but then we get fearful or we get overwhelmed with something else driving us. So we live with this conflicting spiritual cravings of our sinful nature and of the Holy Spirit. And just like food, it's a choice what we feed ourselves. And what you are craving more, what you're more craving is likely to be what you're going to feed yourself, what you're going to eat. And so this morning, do you want to be led by the Spirit or your sinful nature? And I believe I'm in a room of people who want to be led by the Spirit. That's why you're here today. And so my main point today to help us overcome the unhealthy, unspiritual cravings, and to choose the godly, better ones, is to crave Spirit. That's the main point today, is to crave Spirit to overcome the unspiritual desires.
And the main idea behind this point that I'll you know, expand on is that you have got to go after being spiritual rather than just trying not to be sinful. Yeah. Right? Not living this life where it's not just, oh, I'm trying not to do these things, but on the flip, you're trying to go after something good. That you'll overcome the ungodly desires by choosing to go after the spiritual cravings. And these might not sound that different, but they really are when you break it down into principle and practice and passion, that it's a lot more inspiring and directive to go after something good than to just be trying not to do something wrong. Right? If we're just always trying to not be or not do something, it's like being in a fight where you're always dodging, but you're never hitting back. Especially if you really want what you're resisting. Then it's like not only are you dodging somebody else's attacks, but you're trying to hit yourself and dodging that as well. Right? In that situation, you will never win and you will burn out eventually and lose. And so God's plan for us is to change our cravings to what the Spirit desires and then to feed that craving. Romans continues in chapter 8, verse 5 with this principle. It says, those who live according to the flesh, that means those who live by what the flesh wants, obey the flesh. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. And so the Bible's saying that we have two desires. And when we obey one of those desires, we feed that desire and it becomes stronger. Whichever we feed gets stronger, and so then we desire it more and we're more likely to live according to it. If any of you have tried to eat healthier before, which I'm sure many of this room have, at first it doesn't taste that good. But as you eat healthier more and more, then you start to actually enjoy and desire and crave those things. You know, I would never encourage this or suggest this at all. But it's like, you know, I read in a book once this illustration. It's like if you have two dogs, right? You've got two dogs and every day you're feeding one of those dogs. You're feeding one of them and the other one you're starving it. You're not feeding it. And then after a few weeks, you let them, you know, go to battle with each other. Which one is going to win? Obviously, the one that you've been feeding. And so whichever desire we're obeying more, feeding more, it becomes stronger and stronger, more likely to be the one that wins when we're in this battle. And so which craving is stronger in your life right now? This past week, as you've gone through temptations and struggles, has your craving to give in to that temptation been stronger than your craving to be godly in that situation? Are you only trying not to feed your sin, or are you also trying to feed the Spirit? I won't read it, but you can in your own time. But in Matthew chapter 12, 43 to 45, Jesus gives this story that teaches that when we get sin out of our life, it'll try to come back. When we get sin out of our life, it'll try to come back. And if it finds its old space unoccupied, it says it moves back in and can get even worse than before. And so not eating bad food is not the same as eating healthy. Right? Not eating unhealthy food isn't the same as eating healthy. You'll still be hungry if you're eating nothing. So if we deny our sinful desire but don't replace it with godliness, then sin can come right back and maybe even worse. But if we fill ourselves with the right thing, then there's less room for sin to return to. Now I want to read Galatians 5 because it carries on the same principle and teaching here. Verse 16 to 25. We'll start with verse 16 to 18. You guys with me? Cool. Galatians 5, 16 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Hey, how do I overcome the desires of the flesh? by walking by the Spirit. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So this is saying, walk by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This means that sin and spirit drive each other out. Whichever one you choose more is going to drive out the other one. So by choosing, okay, I'm going to obey what the Spirit wants, then you're going to drive out what sin wants. This passage goes on to describe, here's what feeding the sinful nature looks like, and then here's what obeying and feeding the Spirit looks like. Can we look at this? Verses 19 to 21 tells us what the sinful nature is craving and wants. And then the next verses say what the Spirit wants. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with, or let us obey, or let us live according to the Spirit. And so, like I said, sin and spirit drive each other out. And so living by the Spirit's list of things, choosing, okay, I'm going to live like the Spirit says to live. I'm going to live according to the Spirit. Living by the Spirit's lists are steps away from living by the sinful nature's lists. And it says those who live like this or walk by, right? And so what that tells me is that there is trajectory and momentum in our decisions. That the more we live by the Spirit, obey the Spirit, do what the Spirit wants, it's going to be building up that momentum and strength and trajectory. And the opposite would be true as well. God doesn't just give us a list of things that we can't do, but a list of things we can do, a list of things we should do. Now, for anyone here that's a parent or works with kids, you know, with our kids, we can't just be saying no to everything, right? It exasperates them. It frustrates them. If I'm like, you know, constantly like, no, don't touch that. You can't touch that. You can't eat that. That's not safe. Don't go in there. You can't go in that room, right? It's just like, well, what can I do? I mean, you end up frustrated, right? What can I eat? It's good to redirect instead of just know this, know that, to go, hey, we're not going to do that, but here's something you can do, right? Here's something you can touch. You can go in there. You can eat this, right? To give something good, and that helps them to grow and to be healthy. You know, you have to redirect to something positive, safe, healthy that they can do. And that's what God is doing with us, is He is leading us. He's saying, hey, this stuff is not safe, not healthy, not going to get you to heaven. But here's some stuff you can have that you can have as much as you want of this. Against this stuff, there is no law. God gives us something better that we can have as much as we want of. And if we do those things, it actually says we won't gratify the other list of desires. That doing the good is how we overcome the bad. You know, when entering a diet, you can't just think about what you want to eat but can't. That's miserable, right? When you're in a diet and you're like, oh, I just want this. Oh, I just want this and I can't have it. Like, you're not going to last long on that diet. You've got to find stuff that you can and that you want to eat, right? Like, when most people describe the diet they're on, it's usually described by what they're not eating, right? And that just makes most diets sound unappealing. Well, I'm not eating desserts right now. That sounds terrible. I'm not eating sugar. I'm not eating any breads, you know, no starches. I'm not having meat. I'm not having dairy. Like, that just all doesn't, like, that doesn't sound, it sounds like I'm sacrificing, right? And you are, right? But it just, it doesn't sound appealing or exciting, and it might make it hard to last then, right? And so when we ask, well, what kind of diet are you on? The better thing would be to make it positive. Here's the things I am eating, and here's how it's making me feel, right? And when we think about our Christianity, we shouldn't just think about it of the things we don't do, the things we can't do, but to think about in terms of, well, here's what I can do. Here's what I do. And actually, when I do these things, life is a lot better. It's a lot more joyful. It's a lot more fulfilling. My relationships are better. You know, I'm feeling healthier in my soul and in my spirit. Things are going better at my job, in my family, in my parenting. Right? There's, God gives us this positive list of things to live by. Because I know everybody in this room, nobody wants to be described by that first list of things. Right? Does anybody in here want to be thought of as, oh, they're a factitious person? They're immoral. They're a witch, right? Like none of us want to be described by that first list of things. We all want that second list. Why? Because that second list, that's Jesus. That's who Jesus was, is the list of the Spirit. And Jesus never gratified the desires of sin. Not because he lived this life of just pure white-knuckling resistance all the time, but because he lived with a pure, wholehearted insistence on walking by the Spirit, on being spiritual, on pleasing God. Jesus' life wasn't only defined by what he didn't do, but what he did do, who he was. And as disciples, that should be how we're described as well. Not just what we don't do, but what we do, who we are, not just what we're not. A Christian is not someone who doesn't do things. It's someone who is being something better. Someone who is being like Jesus, becoming more and more like Jesus. And to just share a practical example of this that's been helping me a lot is, obviously, I'm sure many of you can relate, after, you know, a full day of working or of dealing with other people or whatever it is, you can come home, you could be tired, you could be a little bit drained, but then maybe you have to come in to your home and it's maybe different ways that you need to serve or helping your kids with something, or they're, you know, maybe not acting right, or they're frustrated, or and for me, I know that I could come home and easily be frustrated or end up impatient. And a lot of what my initial focus was, oh, stop getting so frustrated, stop being so impatient, stop getting angry, right? And was trying to focus on, hey, stopping the bad thing. But what really started to help me was when I realized, hey, maybe I should set my mind before I go in, not just, all right, don't go in and get frustrated, but hey, go in and love your family. Go in and be patient and gentle with your kids. Go in and be joyful. You know, and as I prayed quick and set my mind on being the spiritual thing, that actually helped me a lot more than just walking in and be like, don't get frustrated, don't get frustrated. It's like you're just like resisting this thing that you want to just give into, right? Instead, setting my mind on, okay, be this, right? And calling myself to be something good. We've got to balance the don't with be, do, be something better. We're becoming someone new. Obviously, when you're in a stressful moment or a confrontation or you're in your feelings, this conflict is at its hardest. But that's why we got to learn to choose the Spirit daily, day by day, so that that craving is becoming more and more the stronger and natural one. So when we're in the heat of the moment, that's what more likely is going to win out when we get in that spiritual battle. Now, I just want to mention one other passage up here. It said, those who belong to Christ have crucified their sinful nature with its desire and passion. Now, this is the conviction and the tenacity we need to treat our sin with, is crucifying it, putting it to death. And every time you choose to feed the Spirit instead of your sinful nature, you are starving your sinful nature. You're putting it to death. And so you want... You want to live a life where you are wanting to please God more than you want to please your sinful cravings. A life where you're starving your sin, but you're feeding the Spirit. And we starve it by being spiritual and choosing love, choosing joy, choosing patience, choosing peace, choosing kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control and gratitude and whatever else we see in Jesus and we see in the Bible that God wants us to do. And so what are you wrestling with in your life right now? And what fruit of the Spirit can you choose that's the opposite of that struggle to help you to overcome it? And choose a fruit of the Spirit to go after instead of just trying to fight that sinful desire. Instead of just fighting tooth and nail not to be sinful, fight to be spiritual. Crave the Spirit. And I'm so grateful that God has given us His Spirit to rely on, that He's given us His Spirit to obey, to be strengthened by, to be filled with, to be changed by, because I know and I am certain that on my own, I cannot be like Jesus. Right? I see my sinful nature, I see my life before I was a Christian, and I know this guy cannot be like Jesus by himself. But when I was baptized, God put His Spirit in me. And that opened up a new door, a new calling, a new option was presented for my life that, hey, I could live by the Spirit now instead. And before you had the Spirit too, your flesh, your sinful nature had the reins in your life. You were purely human, 100% you. But now with the Spirit, you're still 100% human, right? Everybody in here is still 100% human. We got those struggles. But because you have the Spirit, within you is also 100% Jesus. The fullness of Christ is living in you. And so disciples can now live according to the Spirit. We could choose that instead. And so you could be confident that you can be spiritual because you have the Spirit. You're part of God's family. It's in your DNA now. You have the fullness of Jesus living in you from the moment you were baptized. And so, not by your power, but by the Spirit, He can take control and continually conform you to be more like Christ. And we have the option to choose that. And it is a choice. I do want to say that because sometimes I've seen in my own life, and maybe you've seen in yours, we could be waiting for some magical moment of transformation to just wake up and, oh, I'm different now. Right? And it just doesn't work that way. We mold who we are by the decisions we make. Whichever desire we feed, we live by, our minds are set on. Right? We have to choose. It's not going to just magically change where, oh, I'm so joyful now. I'm loving now. Right? That we have to feed that Spirit. It's not going to come naturally, right? You're not going to wake up tomorrow and go, okay, I'm eating healthier now and I'm going to love it and make some kale green smoothie and just, ah, that was so good, right? You're going to struggle with, ah, where's the sugar? Where's the fat? Where's the, right? Like at first you have to choose to feed that, but then it starts to kick in. It's an acquired taste. We have to choose to go where the Spirit is leading us. And so this morning, I want you to really think about what change in your life. Or maybe it's a conversation you need to have. Maybe it's a commitment that you need to make. Maybe it's something you need to confess and get open about. But what is the Spirit calling you to do in your life today? That you know this is what the Spirit wants me to do. And maybe you've been waiting for some magical moment for just to be the right time. I want you to know that magical moment is not going to happen. It's happening right now. You can hear the Word of God and you choose, am I going to please the sinful nature saying not to make this commitment or this confession or this change or have this conversation, or am I going to choose the Spirit? Maybe there's something compromising or getting priority over your walk with God that you need to sacrifice. Maybe there's someone that you need to forgive or apologize to. Or get resolved with. Maybe there's a lie that you need to go back and be honest with someone about. Maybe there's someone that you've had on your heart or your mind to share your faith with, but you've just given into fear for a while now. Maybe you're seeing something in your attitude or your character that you need to just be honest with yourself about. Yes, I am prideful. Yes, I am being difficult in this situation, or I am being ungrateful, whatever it is. Or maybe there's just some ongoing battle with some sin that you want to overcome in your life. And I want to say, if you don't feel ready to deal with that thing yet, then you're in a great place. Because then you'll have to rely on God. You have to say, God, I know you want this to change. I know you want it to change today. So I'm going to rely on your spirit and faith, and I'm going to do this. That you can choose to do what the Spirit desires. And as you choose to do what the Spirit desires, it will change you. And your mind will start to be more set on what the Spirit desires. And you'll start this trajectory of becoming more like Jesus. And so choose what the Spirit desires. Crave patience, kindness, and forgiveness over anger and bitterness. Choose peace and trust over worry and doubt. Say what is beneficial for building up over grumbling or arguing. Choose to be generous and selfless over choosing greed. Choose to be ambitious for God instead of spiritually apathetic. Choose gratitude over discontentment this week. Whatever it is, as we live according to the Spirit, our minds will be more set on what the Spirit wants. And then our cravings will grow stronger for what's godly, and we will become more like Jesus. In a moment here, we'll be taking communion to reflect on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for us. And if you need a communion cup, you can raise your hand so the ushers can bring you one. But as we take communion, I want us to really consider Jesus, who the Bible says was tempted in every way that we are, and yet never sinned. And part of why he was able to do this was because he had something bigger that he was craving than what sin would have had him do. Jesus was able to overcome his cravings for sin in the ways he was tempted because he had something bigger that he was craving. Many of you are familiar with when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he prayed to have this cup taken from him, but not his will, but God's will be done. Jesus didn't want to suffer, but he wanted to please God more. He wanted to please God more than he didn't want to suffer. He craved the good more than he craved getting out of the suffering. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." It says that Jesus endured the cross, his ultimate trial of self-denial. And he did that by focusing on something stronger that he was craving than saving himself. It says that he was focused on the joy set before him, a fruit of the Spirit. He followed the Spirit's desires instead of his flesh's desires. And what the Spirit wanted him to do here was to suffer for us, because God's will was for him to save us. And that joy of saving us and of pleasing God was what drove him to overcome his desire to not suffer in this way. And so this morning, let's be motivated by Jesus, fixing our eyes on him, our pioneer, our leader, our example, so that we can live a life focused on the cravings of and then living according to the Spirit. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Good morning, Father. Thank you so much for being with us always. Thank you for your scriptures, which you've given to help us live a life that pleases you. God, we want to overcome our desires for sin. God, we want to overcome the flesh. And God, we know and we could all admit that on our own, we cannot do that. And so you've given us your Spirit. Thank you, God, for giving us your Holy Spirit, that we have your presence, your fullness, that we have Jesus living in us permanently as a seal. God, as an advocate, God, as a counselor, to help us to live a righteous life. God, as we go into this holiday season craving a bunch of different things and probably a lot of unhealthy stuff, I pray that you help us to be reminded that, hey, we have these spiritual cravings too. And our sinful nature has cravings. And that the way that we overcome the desires of the flesh is to choose what you desire, to choose the desires of the Spirit. And God, we can do that in faith, knowing that as we choose that more and more with our family, with our friends, with our job, with the situation, with the temptation we're facing, as we choose to live according to the Spirit, that you will change us, that our minds will change, that who we are will change, and we will be becoming more like Jesus. And that the Spirit will become the stronger and stronger desire and craving in our life, that we will be craving what the Spirit wants of us, what you want of us. God, help us in our spiritual battle. Help us to choose the Spirit. Help each of us to put into practice whatever it is, a change, a commitment, a conversation, a confession, whatever it is that will please the Spirit, that we'll choose to do that today, that we'll do that this week, and that will please you and that will honor you in that way. And God, ultimately, we thank you for Jesus, who no matter what we are going through, we can look to for an example. He is our pioneer. He is the perfecter of our faith. God, he set the ultimate example of going through the suffering of the cross, even though his flesh did not want to. He was able to overcome that because he wanted to please you more. He wanted to walk by the Spirit more. There was something good, saving us, pleasing you, that he wanted more than he wanted to get out of the suffering. And God, I pray that we'll be inspired and motivated by his example to overcome our own temptations and struggles and sufferings as well. Lord, we love you. Thank you for his blood, his body, which was shed and broken for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.